Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Playboy Mansion. A conversation with Bridget Marquardt. It's a building that was more than a little rich with history. It saw wild parties packed with the rich, famous, and most powerful people in the world. And while life may have seemed like all fun and games from the outside, behind the gates of Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion, something else may have been going on. Something unseen by most of the guests, only noticed by those who lived there. Something supernatural? Today, we discuss the history and the ghost stories of the Playboy Mansion with someone who knows them better than most, Bridget Marquardt.
For me, I think that I was born kind of spooky and into that kind of stuff because I, for as long as I can remember, I have always loved spooky stuff, ghost stories, horror movies, even way, way, way before I was supposed to be watching them. But my first actual paranormal encounter happened when I was 12. At least the one that I'm sure of. I mean, I had some other spooky things happen when I was younger, and I've been wondering lately if maybe they were more than just my imagination. But my first real thing happened when I was 12, and I got my first Ouija board.
Wow. So what was your thought? I mean, you're 12, you get a Ouija board. Is this something that, you know, your family said, don't touch that? Or was there like any opinion on having a Ouija board? What was your thoughts at that moment?
Well, my parents are not into the paranormal or ghosts or anything like that at all. They're just not anything that's ever on their agenda or on their mind at all.
Sure.
Whatsoever. So, I think when I wanted to get a Ouija board, my mom was kind of like, I don't think she like loved the idea, but she didn't really care or have real strong opinions on it.
Okay.
And so I saved up my like babysitting money and things like that to like go get it. And so I don't think they really thought anything of it when I got it, other than that's kind of weird, you know, but like whatever.
So you could
get a different game. You could get Monopoly or Candyland or something.
You got a Ouija board. So you went out and got this game yourself. It wasn't given to you as like a gift or something from a strange aunt. You took the initiative. You went and you wanted to get the Ouija board.
Oh, I wanted it because I was into all that kind of stuff. Like I said, I probably saw it on a scary movie. I'm sure I did. And I wanted that. And I thought, how scary could it be? I mean, it's a game and they sell it at the kids' stores and the kids' section.
What could possibly go wrong?
So you
get the Ouija board that you've been saving up your babysitting money for, and what happens?
So I have my cousins come over, and they're a little bit younger than me. I was around 12, and they're probably 10 or 11. They're about a year and a half younger than me. And my little brother, and we all sit around and we're playing it. And it was specifically one other cousin and I that were doing it the most. And we didn't really know that many people that had passed away at that time. So the one person I did know who had passed away recently was my great grandfather. And so we were trying to reach out to him, and supposedly we were talking to him, but I would accuse her of moving the planchette, and she would accuse me of moving it. And eventually we just got bored and we just put it away. And, but then after that, I started having weird things happen, and, I just attribute it to the Ouija board.
What were some of the weird things that were happening?
So the first thing that happened is I came home from school one day. This was like, I played it on the weekend, and then this was like a Monday morning. And I came home from school, sat down at the coffee table, turned on the TV. I don't know if I was doing homework or just watching TV, who knows, but I hear the back door open. I came in through the back door, and I hear it kind of fly open and hit against the house. And I thought, oh, that's weird. I must not have shut it tight. So I get up, go to the back door, shut it again, and don't think anything of it. Come back, sit back down. And a couple minutes later, I hear it fly open again and hit the house. And I was like, oh, that's weird, because I'm sure that I closed it tight this time. So I got up and I kind of looked around to see if somebody was messing with me or whatever, you know, went out on the porch, like looked around a little bit. Nobody's there. I thought, huh, maybe it's just like messed up the door or something. So I shut it tight this time. I check it, make sure it's definitely tight. Okay. Still not thinking anything of it. So I go back, sit back down again. And then, I hear it fly open again, and this time I'm scared now to go look, because somebody's definitely messing with me now. And so I get up and I'm all scared to walk to the back door, and sure enough, it's like wide open. I go out on the porch, I look around, nobody's out there. So I quick shut it really, really fast, and then I locked it this time. And then I walked out of the laundry room where that door is, and I see out of the corner of my eye down the hall my great-grandfather standing there.
Oh my God.
And then it started turning into like all kinds of things, like nightmares and feeling like being watched and seeing him in all kinds of weird locations and stuff like that, just kind of standing there watching me. But it wasn't like this feel good, oh, it's my grandpa, yeah, my guardian angel watching over me. It felt scary, and it didn't feel like him at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was like a trickster type of thing or what. But my family, it was really, really starting to like mess with me. So my family didn't really know what to do. Like I said, they weren't into the paranormal at all, didn't even know anything about it. And some of the family said, oh, she should talk to our pastor at our church. And some of the family was like, she should see a psychiatrist. And so we did both. We had the pastor come over to our house, and I told him what was going on. I got the feeling he didn't really believe me, but he did give me a good piece of advice. He told me that I should keep a diary of everything that was happening. So I did do that. And then my grandma took me all the way. We lived in Northern California, but closer to kind of Sacramento. And she would pick me up from school and drive me all the way out to Sausalito, which is the Bay Area, to a psychiatrist out there who specialized in this type of thing. And I talked to her for a long time, probably a year or something, like once a month or so. And she gave me one good piece of advice, I think, too. She told me to go to his graveside, and even if it isn't him, ask him if he can make it stop. And so I did that, too. And it did finally eventually go away or stop, you know, stop happening. But it took a long time.
Let's walk back for a minute here, because I want to hear you walk into the house after the door slamming back and forth. You're confused. You're scared. You see him then down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
What is going through your mind? What emotions are traveling through you as you see him there?
It's kind of like you're that feeling where your blood runs cold, but then when I turn to look straight on, there was nothing there anymore. Mm-hmm. But I still know what I saw there, and I definitely know it was him because I know what he looks like. I know, you know, the way he dressed. And I'm already kind of scared about the door opening and closing, and your mind is trying to figure out, is this all related? Is there somebody outside? Is it the ghost? Is it a ghost? Is it, like, what's happening right now? And it's just all hard to comprehend, but I was just overall scared, and I was home by myself, and we live out in the middle of nowhere to make things worse. Like, we lived way out in the country on 7.5 acres. Our nearest neighbor is probably 2 football fields away. Mm-hmm. Like, really, and, you know, nobody's close. Nobody would hear me if I screamed.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was your relationship? Did you have a relationship with your great-grandfather? Did you know him when he was alive?
I did, and we had a great relationship, mm-hmm. and he was very sweet, and he was funny, and he spoke German, and he called me his little futzela, which I later learned was a little fart. And I just remember he had a cookie bin in the kitchen, and I used to go over to his house and go right into that little cookie bin. They would keep it down low in a cupboard that was, you know, low so that I could get to it. And I remember he used to watch Carol Burnett, and I remember sitting on his lap and watching Carol Burnett, and I didn't really understand Carol Burnett, but he was like laughing and thought it was so funny. And those are the memories I have with him. So they're all positive and all good.
So that must have been very confusing, because, you know, obviously people have a feeling to them when you run into somebody. It's especially someone you know and have, you know, continued relationships with. They have that presence about them. So when you had this experience and he's standing there, you're saying, from what I understand earlier, is that it wasn't that same feeling or presence that you knew and loved about him.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. It was a very, very scary. It was not him.
So when you look back on this, you know, kind of in retrospect, what's your opinion on this? Do you think it was the ghost of your grandfather that was actually haunting you? Or do you think it was something else kind of taking on that form to gain your trust, but you were empathic enough to kind of to pick up on the other elements other than just the visuals of him being there?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, they say that there can be tricksters. I think it was something else trying to be in the form of something that I knew to gain my trust or to do whatever. But and then whether or not it was caused by the Ouija board, I'm conflicted, because I just feel like now I'm taking classes in parapsychology and that kind of stuff, and I feel like the Ouija board is more the ideomotor skills and that kind of thing. Oh, my cat just freaked out. I think there's a ghost behind me.
It's
now
a green screen cat.
And so, but I feel like whether or not it was the actual Ouija board that brought this out, I think that it at least opened up my mind to being able to experience whatever it was that I experienced.
Sure. So, and you were, as we're kind of touching on this area, you had said that you are kind of looking back on some things even prior to the Ouija board that you kind of wonder about, you know, maybe this was. And we all kind of do that sometimes. It's funny how sometimes moments will hit us and we go, oh my God, I never even thought of it that way. What are some of those moments that you're kind of pondering on now all these years later?
There's a couple of them. The earliest one I remember is, so I was a latchkey kid from like starting at 4, really, really young. And I'm used to being independent and alone and don't really get scared being alone at all. But I just remember one time I was home alone and something terrified me. And I remember I was hiding behind the couch and I remember thinking, it's ghosts, there's ghosts, there's ghosts and stuff. And I don't know, I don't remember seeing anything and I don't even remember hearing anything, but I just remember hiding behind the couch and telling myself that there was ghosts in the room. And this is a room that I had been in, you know, my whole life practically. So, and never had any other feelings like that. So I don't know what happened that day. If my imagination was just playing tricks on me and getting the better of me that day, or if I was experiencing something on that day. And then another time, and this was not just one time, this happened multiple times, at my grandmother's house, which I'm very sure is haunted. We used to go into the upstairs bedroom and this was before like any ghost hunting show or anything like that. So we didn't even know what we were doing. We were just doing this as kids inventing it ourselves, we thought. But we would sit there and we would be like, if there's somebody here with us, make the door open. And the door wasn't closed. To be fair, the door was not closed all the way. Mm-hmm. But then we would watch it and then it would like slowly start to open a little bit. And then we'd all get all scared. And this is me, myself and all my cousins, you know, and we get all scared and be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And we're like, okay, now can you make the door close? And then it would slowly kind of close a little bit. And we would like freak out. And there was a doll that would move around. And we think that one of my uncles was responsible for moving the doll around, like trying to prank us, but definitely not the door. There was nobody out there with the door, and it would respond on command to things that we asked. And my cousins and I still talk about it to this day, how weird that was, and was it paranormal?
That's an interesting thing, and it's a concept that I'm kind of trying to wrap my mind around too. I mean, you obviously do your show too, so you hear a lot of stories, just like me. And this concept that I'm hearing a lot of is sometimes not necessarily there's a ghost there, but sometimes just like the collective energy of those who are in the room, and almost like willing it to happen, or this idea of sometimes creating a ghost out of nothing, where it's not, it wasn't a person, it's not an evil thing, it's not a good thing, it's just this thing. I mean, it makes me wonder of things like that, especially in situations when we're kids and we do things like that. You know, was it a ghost, or was it really just somehow our energy, you know, that made those things happen? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, they say most poltergeist activity, so when things move around and that kind of stuff, is caused by a living agent, meaning a person that's alive, mm-hmm. not a ghost that's dead, isn't moving things across the room. It's usually the person. And so I definitely think that it's possible for three or four girls getting together and all their scared energy, like, willing that door to open and close.
Sure.
But I also think that my grandparents' house was haunted, because even my grandma, who doesn't have a ghost story at all, just told me nonchalantly one time that, yeah, she woke up one night and there was a man in the hallway. And I was like, what do you mean there was a man in the hallway? You mean grandpa, who had, it was her husband for 60 years who had passed away. And she's like, no, it wasn't grandpa. There was another man in the hallway. And I'm like, who was it? Oh, I don't know. And no big deal. I was like, wait, no, this is a big ghost story. I got to know that. And she was just like, oh, I don't know. I just woke up and he was there. And I hear him walk up and down the stairs sometimes. And it was like, it was no big deal. It's nothing. My grandma, by the way, is now 102. Oh, she probably told me this story 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I ask her about it now. And now she says she doesn't live in the house anymore, because my mom is taking care of her mm-hmm. now. But she says she doesn't remember now.
Yeah.
But she definitely just told me just nonchalantly, like it was no big deal. And just an everyday occurrence that there's a man in the house that walks up and down the stairs and sometimes is in the hallway outside her bedroom. And it's not grandpa.
Do you think she was so nonchalant about it because it happened so frequently to her, and she just kind of recounted one occurrence to you?
Yeah. I think she just... she doesn't get scared easily. Mm-hmm. She's an old German woman and nothing gets to her. And I think she just thinks it's just a natural thing that happens.
Yeah. That's interesting, because yeah, sometimes people just kind of have that outlook. I mean, it almost sounds like sometimes if you talk to like a 5-year-old or something about a ghostly experience, it's just, yeah, the guy came in here and looked at me in my crib and then he walked away. It's like, what? There was a human in your room?
Yeah, right. But if you asked my grandmother, does she believe in ghosts? She probably would have said, no, I don't believe in that stuff. But there was a man outside my door one night.
Yeah, it's funny how the logic can be sometimes. So
yeah.
So let's talk more about, you know, as you know, you got older and your career progressed and such. You know, how did the paranormal, what was your interest in it, you know, as you grew older?
Well, I mean, what happened when I was 12 definitely sparked my interest. Some people would think that it might scare me away, but it actually made me even more interested to know what's going on and what else is there out there. And so every time I would go somewhere, I would try and like, you know, convince everybody wherever we're going or whether I was making the plans, we have to stay somewhere haunted. So if we'd visit LA, I'd be like, oh, we have to stay at the Roosevelt Hotel or we have to stay in the Queen Mary or something like that. Or, you know, just depending on where we were going, try and always stay somewhere haunted. And like I said, this was before the TV shows or ghost hunting equipment was available to the general public. And so what we would do is just stay up until like midnight and walk around with our camera and just walk around and try and experience something, which really is still the best way to try and experience it. It's just walk around and see what you feel, see what you hear. Maybe you see something, maybe take some photos. But that's what we would do. And I don't know why we felt we had to wait till midnight to do it, but that just makes it scarier, you know, run around in our pajamas in the Queen Mary at midnight and try and find a ghost. And so that's what I would do. And I would read books about different places, the Myrtles Plantation or, you know, all kinds of different haunted places. And then while I was at the mansion, I found some online classes through Flamel College.
Okay.
And they offered paranormal investigating courses. And I thought, oh my God. And this is right when like the first paranormal TV show started coming out too, Ghost Hunters. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to take these classes. So I took all these classes on getting a paranormal investigation certificate. And my final project was you had to do like an investigation from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And so I did it on the mansion because the mansion was haunted and I live there. So I had full access. So that was my final project.
How interesting. And
you know what's funny? What? My books for that were written by Troy Taylor, who I've now had on my show. And he said he has my final project somewhere.
That's funny. It kind of comes 360 sometimes. Yeah. So let me ask you, I mean, about the mansion. I mean, obviously, you know, when you go to live there, did you know the ghost stories? I mean, knowing you and how you ask questions about things, did you have any idea there was anything haunted going on there?
I didn't know when I first went there, but there's definitely an original ghost story that is going around. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I've never had confirmation, but Hef told me the OG ghost story there is that the original owners, Arthur Letts Jr. and his wife, live there, and supposedly Mrs. Letts jumped, fell, or was pushed from the balcony onto the marble floor below and died in the house, and that she haunts the house. When I was doing my report for this, I went down to the Hall of Records and I pulled death certificates and marriage certificates, and I couldn't find any proof that that actually happened. But I will say there were a lot more Mrs. Letts's that lived in that house than I thought. Apparently he was married a couple of times and his mother, Mrs. Letts Sr., also lived in the home. So it's kind of confusing on which Mrs. Letts they might be referring to. Regardless of the original story, Holly had an experience in the mansion. I've had experiences in the mansion. The butlers have experiences and have stories. The housekeeping is totally afraid of the game house, which I don't blame them. I didn't like going out there by myself either. So there's like all kinds of stories that people have.
So do you consider yourself empathic or sensitive at all?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't say that about myself, but there's things that I definitely have experienced. And when I ask other people about it, they're like, oh, you're an empath. And I'm like, I don't want to say that though, but maybe so.
Sure. So, I mean,
but Barry Taft told me I was a conduit.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, so the first time you go to the mansion, obviously there's a lot of excitement going on in your life at that moment. This is a whole new experience. This is, you know, this is an exciting time for you. Do you feel anything about the house? I mean, obviously it's a big mansion. It's old. There's a ton of history there. I mean, anyone could feel that just by knowing of the physical location you're at. But beyond that, I mean, was there anything initially that kind of made you go,
Not the first time I went there, because the first time I went there was just for a couple of days and I was testing for Playmate. There was tons of people around. I wasn't actually staying in the main house. I was staying in the guest house. I did feel like there was that feeling of nostalgia kind of when you walk in, like that feeling that you could just really feel the history.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But it wasn't until like I moved in and that first night I spent there, I was trying to go to sleep and this is in the main house. And I kept just thinking how like this like really lonely, sad feeling that I kind of contribute to the house itself. Mm-hmm. Because it's not necessarily the people's energy that are there, because everyone is, you know, pretty excited to be there. And it's a pretty party, happy atmosphere typically. But I just kept feeling this sad energy. And then the longer I lived there, the more like kind of little weird things that would happen. Like the volume on my TV would just go up on its own, or it would change channels. Like I always loved watching like the Travel Channel, I think was the one that always had on spooky stories, like the top 10 most haunted places in America, yeah, or those kind of shows, you know. So I'd always have those on in the background of whatever I was doing in the room. And then all of a sudden it would be like the basketball game on or something. I'd be like, wait, how did it just change to the basketball game? Obviously that's not a channel that changes to a basketball game, yeah, you know? So I always thought that was kind of weird, but I always kind of played it off that maybe have had an audio video department that was up on in the attic, mm-hmm, and that was actually manned, because this was before DVRs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So he actually had somebody recording all of these programs for him. And so I thought maybe they could control my TV and maybe we're accidentally changing, sure, the channel or the volume or whatever. And so one day I went up and asked them and they were like, oh, we don't have any control over your TV. Like we just have TVs up here and stuff that and VCRs that we record from for Hef. Like, no, but I can come down and take a look at your TV and see if there's something wrong with it. And he came down, he said, I don't see anything wrong with your TV at all. And Holly and I were on the floor one day scrapbooking and the remote was over on my bed. And, she was like, you know, I just don't really believe in that kind of stuff. We were talking about ghosts and stuff, and I just don't really believe in that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, my TV she said, I don't really believe in that kind of stuff. I wish I could get some sort of sign or something. And all of a sudden, my TV went to full volume. And I jumped up, and I'm like scrambling for the remote, and I turned it down. I was like, I think that might have been a sign for you.
Yeah. What was her reaction at that?
She was just like wide-eyed and was like, oh my God. And this is before I had talked to audio and video. So we were just like, maybe yeah, it was John upstairs messing with the TV or whatever. I'll talk to him. And then, you know, later I told her that it wasn't him. And she was like, that was so crazy.
How interesting. I mean, so did she have any experiences on her own too?
She did, but she's still kind of like, wasn't a believer. So she has a really good story. She was in the gym one time, which is kind of down. It's the gym is dug out like kind of in the basement sort, mm-hmm, of, but it's all, you know, finished and nice. And there are kind of secret doors that go down to the gym and that you can use to cut through the house to come back up, like going through the basement and coming back up. So she was down in the gym and she was working out and she saw a blonde girl, not unusual, come out, throw a towel over her shoulder and walk towards this wall and disappear. And Holly was like, that's weird. Oh, there must be another secret door over there, because she never, you know, came back out from there. So after she got off the treadmill or whatever it was she was on, she walked over to try and figure out what secret door it was and where it goes. And she did indeed find a secret door there. And she pushed the little button and the door popped open. But when she looked in there, it was just a closet that went nowhere. And so she has no idea where this woman,
yeah,
that she saw went to.
How weird. The history of the mansion, we talked earlier about the rumor of what may have happened prior to it being turned into what it is. But what about, you know, the active history of the mansion itself? You know, when Hef did have it, was there ever anything? Was there ever any deaths on the property? Things like that? I mean, obviously, lots of crazy things would have gone on there through various generations, you know, through heavy drug use generations and, you know, and forward. You would think maybe there'd be an OD at some point on the property. But was there ever anything?
Not that I know of. Yeah. There wasn't. But there are a lot of people attached to the house who have had tragic deaths. You know, lots of Hef's friends who used mm-hmm. to come up all the time have passed away. Obviously, Dorothy Stratton, mm-hmm. who was murdered, and she, you know, spent a lot of time at the mansion. So there's definitely a lot of people, even people who worked many, many years at the mansion have passed away. So I think there's definitely a lot of energy and a lot of people who maybe want to stick around mm-hmm. or come by and check out and see what's still going on. And I think that's the case with the apparition that I saw there. This is probably like the coolest, in my opinion, story that I have from the mansion. It was the day that I got my dog Wednesday, and I had flown to North Carolina to see my brother. I had a layover in Georgia. I picked up my new puppy in Georgia on the layover, and then flew home with her. My sister came with me, and we had just gotten home from this trip, so we're tired. We have a little pin set up for my puppy towards the end of the bed, and we have all her stuff in there, and she's passed out because it's been a long day for her too, so she's passed out on the floor in there, and my sister is sitting on the bed next to me. My friend Stacy is sitting at the end of the bed. We're having a glass of wine. We have the TV going, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I can see in my closet doorway, and my closet doorway, my closet goes to my closet and then to the bathroom, but there's no exit or entrance in that part of the room. So, but in the closet doorway, I see a woman standing there, and I saw what she looked like. She had black, long, kind of stringy, thin hair. She was very, very pale. She was wearing kind of like a white oversized t-shirt and black kind of acid washy jeans. So she was more of a modern day apparition than she was. You know, they always say it just seems like they're always in old-fashioned sure. attire, but this was not. And she was standing there, and she was just kind of staring, and I kind of gasped because, you know, out of shock because I'm standing in my room. And everybody saw it. My sister immediately just started crying and was like, oh my God, what was that? What was that? What was that? And then my friend Stacy was like, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. I just saw something on the corner of my eye, and I don't even know if I want to know what it is. What was it? And it was just a woman standing there. And remember I was telling you the first time I went there, I stayed just for a couple of days because I was testing for Playmate.
Yeah.
I met a woman while I was there, and she was one of Hef's social secretaries. And she was amazing. We stayed up talking all night. Like, we really hit it off. And she was like, I know you'll be back. I have strong feelings about it and everything. And she was kind of like the caretaker of all the girls that were hanging out. I remember there was a party going on outside, and there was a Playmate that came in and was kind of like crying to her about this jerk that she was on a date with there at the party. And she was very involved in all the pets at the mansion and all that kind of stuff. And I really think that it was her. And then when I came back to live there, I found out that she had since passed away of cancer. And so I really think that it was her. And I think that she just came to see the new addition to the mansion.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Bridget Marquardt. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.